subsection 2. The committee proceeds with this as may decide the question of
thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, the issue has been discussed with the legal minds in this part of this committee, or present in this committee. Chair, the issue is that there is some difficulty around the word must, and also the identification of the specific institution that is by the minister. It must be the important factors that we take into consideration in our discussion is that we talk about our education institution, so it is not universities only, but it is industry of the institutional type. If it is both that being amended or in the current format, it will also be three institutional types that will be affected by that decision. And it is linked to policy that determined in Section 3. Now, it may provide a solution if we just change the structure to put the emphasis that the minister develop policy or determine policy in terms of Section 3 and attach it to that policy that any public or education institution then identified through that policy will then offer the qualification. First of all, Section 3 provides a whole process of consultation. It also involves the CHE in the process before policy can be made. It starts out the whole structure within which the policy must operate, and it also provides the compulsion by institutions to adhere to the policy made. It would be in order to deal with a provision of this nature, it is important that if the minister make a determination in order to identify or to get a public institution to offer this qualification, this trade and occupational qualification, it must be enforceable so that there is legal clarity as to who would be the comparable public institution as is provided for in Section 29 when it comes to private providers as well. Therefore, there is a need to have a compulsion to adhere at least for some of the institutions. Section 3 is also important that it provides that it is policy for the system as a whole, but it can also be for an individual institution or more than one institution, but not necessarily the system as a whole. So it covers that aspect as well. Honorable Chair, it is also important that when we look at the issue of the funding, and I haven't consulted it with my colleagues, but I was looking at during lunchtime, Chapter 5 provides once again through policy that the minister determines how money will be allocated in order to perform the functions of offering qualifications. It is not referring it only to qualifications in the sub-framework of higher education. So that policy will then also identify the resources and also the structure within which the offering will take place. So this provision, we obviously it is not making a major change to what is in the bill, but it can read easily or better, maybe a better way of putting it, it can be better if we maybe make a following amendment to say, subject to Section 3, any public or education institution identified by the minister, and then we delete, in accordance with the policy determined under Section 3, we take that out and then continue, not offer an education program or a trading occupation learning program that leads to a qualification or part qualification on a sub-framework for a trading occupation contemplated in Section 7C of the National Qualification Framework Act and in compliance with in conditions set by the law. I don't know if any of the colleagues also want to add to the discussion.
Okay, let's check whether there's one to chop up. Chair, thanks. We agree with the proposal, and I think Chair, Section 3 covers the consideration with regard to the consultation requirements, the policy determination, and basically covers the process before the minister will then, before the decision is taken in terms of the clause where the minister then will then indicate the that the identification of the identification to offer these this particular training basically. So we support that proposal.
Okay. Before we actually
you know, what this does is it simply confirms our unease about the definitions in the first place. Because what we're looking at here, I mean, is that the department has something in mind for these university colleges and higher education colleges. But what that actually is, we don't know. And it's sort of implied here that they might well be places where TVET courses are offered. But we don't know that. But these places are suddenly invented up thin air. There's no real preceding policy which tells us that this is what the new land grant is going to be. And then suddenly there's a clause stuck in here which which would allow the minister to say, right, college X, you've got to now teach TGS courses. It seems to me really proves our point about the definitions putting the cart before the horse, which is the definitions are in there, but actually what these cases mean is not in there. And this is a precise case in point. The other thing that this proves is that the department does want must to be in. In other words, there is a compulsion element. And although initially that was actually denied in your first response to my concern, that was actually denied by you, now we're finding it's actually you must have a compulsion. So to me, this remains a very problematic clause, and I'd like to link it to the definition of weaknesses that we've already identified. Thank you.
Any other comments? If I understand you correctly, you accept that it must be linked to the definition. Okay. I think you have to go and rework it. In such a way that be accepted by the member. What would be accepted into the member?
My original proposal was deleted and revert the original act.
Okay, and then I know you spoke about reworking. What would be accepted to you because we tried to rework?
Well, the alternative is to put may instead of must.
It is creating a problem because this is the original word we're still referring to Section 3. Section 3 specifically says that any policy determined by the minister must be adhered to by the institution. So it is then providing a legal conundrum that is not logically explained.
I'm sure Evan can also know that that can be easily remedied by taking out the reference to Section 3, in which case you just say the minister may and it allows for the circumstance where there is concurrence with the universities for these type of courses to take place. It's not that we think they should never take place. It's the approach involved in when they take place, where concurrence is involved. That's what we had all discussed earlier.
It is difficult because it is a responsibility to deliver these qualifications. The structure is that the minister determines its key policy. If it is opening up another type of determination which is not policy, which is not regulation, what would it be? How are we going to interpret what would be the status? Are we now talking about collective agreements that you would find in a bargaining structure in terms of the Labor Relations Act? Is that the type of issues that we are dealing with? Because when we are talking about the system, the minister obviously consults with the view of reaching an agreement. But in the end, it is the minister's responsibility to make a determination. He said this is the policy framework in which the system must run. What would be the implications if there is no agreement by any of the institutions? What would be the impact of legislation to that effect? And then it is also important that when we are dealing with the issues, there's been a statement by the honourable member to say it is TVET qualifications. We're not talking about TVET qualifications at all. We're talking about trading occupational qualifications, which is running from entry of level 1 up until entry of level 8. That is dealing with your what we call professional qualifications, which is high level qualifications, which is currently already offered by some of the universities. And it is not that it is a blanket approach that all universities must adhere to. So I would like to hear the colleague also, Chair, maybe just give further advice later on or now as to what would be the status of a collective or an agreement outside the framework of a policy and regulation framework as provided for in the legislation.
So, Peston, my view is that a reference to Section 3 for me is more or less providing checks and balances, because it's a process. For example, it needs to be consultation with the HE. So if more or less, if for me you leave out Section 3, you need to have a provision that says the minister must consider this before making this decision. So if you just say the minister name, then you're more or less leaving the discretion to the minister. So for me, it's more legal sound and also gives the checks and balances if you refer to Section 3 of the
we need to try to go on this debate. We are some budget to ready to keep the update on where we are. We have the same day. The legal team set down to recraft such as the clause. So they then read to us what they have requested, so we are debating that now. Right, honourable member, Kathy?
Okay. I am quite certain that there is a way to find a solution, but I'm getting the feeling that the department doesn't want to find that solution that the committee is looking for. That's just my own feeling. According to my understanding, the minister already has the power to set policy on Section 3. So I don't seem to see what is the big issue here, the advocate portion of the legislation. He already has the power to set policy. Nobody is taking that power away from him. Just by saying that the minister may, in terms of this section, does not take away his powers to set policy in terms of the legislation before. So I'm still not convinced, Jefferson, that there's this massive problem with moving forward with that proposal.
How else are you going to communicate your policy if you don't answer?
There's a way. There's a way. There's a way.
So you say you must just be empowerment to do this.
Okay, shall we then make a program? Okay, can we listen so that we can then understand also
the problem with the department is that they sometimes they steadfastly on some of the things and do not actually explain the manner in which they could possibly work out. You must remember, as lawmakers, we want the system synchronized in such a way that there is limited cohesion, to an extent that everything works according to both law, but also the constitutional statute of the university. So for me, I would be comfortable, I don't know why, but I would be comfortable.
What would you be comfortable with?
I would be comfortable with the proposal as is, as long as it follows everything that has to follow. Because
in section 3.
In section 3. You must also remember in section 3, we have taken out the private operations into, you remember we took out individual public and what we now remain with what you call private higher education institution.
Yes.
So this, insofar as it applies, it advises the architect of higher education according to what I would think it does. Insofar as the as well demand an extraordinary need associated with specific institutions, it doesn't actually write off a similar architect as a whole. As a whole, you would see he has the architect as a client. Because my word was, you can't tell us to accept a proposal that lists a specific architect, and then all of a sudden you're so preoccupied with other extraordinary needs to an extent that now you yourself, you recommend extraordinary interference in your architect. That's why I was saying, if you draft a picture of higher education, be content with what you have described in all your institutional types. To an extent that even in the offering, protect the character of your institutional types. So if you say to me here, these are special circumstances, I don't know what drives them, but if you say these are special circumstances which Prof. also here did describe, which warrants that at whatever level you do for public good, you do extend the institutions to certain offerings. At the heart of what sits between me and this is those small communities, small groups of students, of adult individuals who request this. It is not the minister. I'm looking now at, you know, who is this intended. So I'm not going to be worried about the mask in this case. I'm going to be worried more about where is this directed to.
Okay. You have verified your objection, then you proceed. I mean, this is a place, and we, you know, as a liberator, I kept writing what I wanted you to read in which I can. So you understand, you told me, when I really wanted you to understand when you read in conjunction, but earlier on, we did not
look at it, you know, against this person. Okay, yeah, you're right. I must be clear also on what you said. I'm talking about, are you supporting the reformulation or taking this as it is? Maintaining it as it is. The reason or the reformulation? Because remember, we said it was reformulation. But now, as you read the written one together with your three, that will give us different meaning for understanding, not in understanding. Do you want us to come back, please? Only a little bit of matter.
Madam, do you make me the proposal that we retain?
Okay. All right. Madam, please. Yeah, we retain. In relation to what we are doing in this
Firstly, if you retain the original, it does not refer to clause. It's only the revised version that's
the
Right. Second point is, I'm not sure if the committee remembers that the University of South Africa, which represents all 26 universities, said they strongly opposed it. They are strongly opposed to it. I think we need to take that into account. And thirdly, we continue not to support it.
It is true that universities oppose this. This was one of those particular areas where we didn't get consensus in the past year, and I think that is that they came through the concerns there was not consensus in it. There wasn't consensus amongst the people who were working, you know, but I think the issue was that if they opposed something else, it was a must in original talk. We were saying all universities must, not we. That was the proposal. And there was a lot of concern about that. And that's why this thing got changed around to say, no, let's try to say that an institution, these identified institutions as must. And the really underlying argument from the legal side was, in terms of the policy, was that you have to have at least one public institution that offers these kinds of programs, because you need the comparability with for parts. Now, if you don't have one, if there's no money, then you could have none.
Yeah.
And that was the argument. So in the end, the compromise was that you would have identified, because it's not been a blanket statement saying that all higher education institutions must. I can tell you that particular clause, there was blood all over the place relating to that. So it's very interesting.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
I should just re-emphasize, however, that although there was a compromise in the committee, all 26 universities here have said they're strongly opposed. So the people of the committee might have been, you know, shamed into supporting that the actual universities themselves, when it came to their own representatives, said no, they don't.
So it
doesn't
apply to all universities.
opposed to, or just say they have no consensus of meaning, that it seems like generation in fact that they were those who agreed that they were
In the representation, they therefore are indicating that there is a subject. So we came to a kind of compromise in terms of what the cause is. It's almost that there is a
Maybe this is one section in the field that will create such an impression for the committee that we will be remembered for having pioneered. So, Honorable Prof, I think you will be remembered by this term of office that exists. You broke the ground, went into uncharted waters, and created a scenario that favors the future. Because we are currently fixated about what if there is a private orientation university that one uses. According to how we prescribe the registration of all institutions, that they must be similar to a live one, it means there would be no registration. So for me, it's not only that, but I think I will change it in that direction. But yeah, what holds me into believing slightly better now is that it could be a program in a faculty. It doesn't change the character of the university. It's a program. Prof, am I getting closer to your screen now? It's a program. So you may find that in a faculty, there are 16 provided departments, and there is this specific one that is requested to extend itself to this program. I'm just making an example.
Okay, I'm trying to remember what's talking about. He actually talks about universities that responded to certain needs. So that all the universities, you know, when you talk about children, it responded to certain needs of the media, certain needs of folks. So now, the understanding is that we've got two people who have a member of the committee, and I'm sure you members of the committee were a whole lot of people, but then the rest are agreeing with you. So that, I think that is so noted. Alright, shall we then move on to 10A? Okay, shall we allow this other group by advocate?
Sir, question, I just wanted again to maybe have the last bite and just link the again section 3 and maybe just the policy. What I would like to say about the May and the March, if you got a policy that says these institutions have been identified and then you have a May, you basically, you will have to comply with the policy. So if you've been identified, that's why we have a March instead of a May day, because there was also that debate about you must have a May instead of a March. And also again to go to the consultation, you consult, and once the institutions are identified, then they must comply, but they have to comply with the policy.
And that is why one of the reasons that we put that for them to
what you would call extraordinary achievement in transformation. It's because they have a self-fulfilling. As a lawmaking, you must release yourself from the self-fulfilling. We could have been upstairs out of this, or before this time, we could have to do something like this, because of, you know, thousands and thousands of requests that we have demanded this direction. So if we prevent ourselves from choosing extraordinarily by forecasting and projecting, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. As long as it's not illegal.
That's consistent with the Constitution.
I was reminded before that a lot of parents ask you, say to Becky and whoever made comments, because now we operate in another level. Where is this committee, as the parliament, as lawmakers, we are looking at things and what has been presented to us and, yeah.
So just for technicality, I think if we change the transformation goals and oversight to transformation policy, I think this needs to be modified.
So what needs to be modified?
Goals, the
what I wanted to speak, I wanted to say the long title, we just have to rework all of it in light of all the changes, because some things have been, as well as the next provision, the arrangement of sections, to make sure that it's aligned with the full text of the bill.
When are we going to change?
We will agree in the course of this week and the three different sessions, and we will provide a copy before the next meeting to the committee.
Okay. Any other input on block 42? You.
year we had resolved at the start of this process, there was consensus that we would be given an opportunity to introduce amendments ourselves as members to the amendment, also to introduce clauses that we feel should be included. I'm not sure when we are going to do that.
Okay, here I would have to be, I'm not sure what I want to say for that. I really need to do a few things to check. Members introducing clauses. Okay, I'm trying to, you see, you must remember, this is for the first time that all of us are doing this. I want to get correctly the first time around. So, I know that we had an opportunity for submissions, we had public hearings, and then now, honorable members, if I understand you correctly, would want to introduce clauses that things must be considered by this committee before the adoption. Procedurally, can we do that? In terms of the lawmaking process, Chairperson,
my understanding is, as the committee deliberated on those issues already, they have to just articulate them in writing. For an example, if there is a particular clause where, let's talk about this one, where you can just go and have our own proposal. Then they come back and say, we propose a different articulation than the one, but it has already been deliberated in the committee. There are a couple of those that we discussed, and they were requested to bring them, the members were requested to bring those in writing. I think that's what they're referring to, if I'm saying the same thing.
No, I understand that Mr. Kassim to be requesting to make a submission of a submission that will introduce a new clause.
Sure, if you recall, I asked a question at the start of the process and say, should we then raise it when we come to relevant clauses in the amendment bill? And then the resolution was to say no, we must just deal with those amendment proposals in the amendment bill and clause by clause. And then afterwards, we should then introduce for discussion and deliberation that which members would like to do.
Okay. You know, from where I'm sitting, okay, honorable member,
while we ask you that question, in essence, is that going to be an amendment of an amendment? Because this is an amendment of the main act that has come through to us. And if a new clause altogether is added, are we amending what has already been amended? Is that an additional or a new amendment? I don't understand.
Okay.
Do
you want to respond?
Look, this is also a first-time process myself, so that is why I asked this question right at the start, to gain clarity, and at that point, that was the clarity that I got to chair from the committee and the officials that were advising at the time. My understanding is that we as the committee, as members, we are legislators. Therefore, we cannot only consider, or we shouldn't only have to consider amendments as legislation that they are considering that is proposed to us by the executive. We should be able to also propose amendments to the legislation that we are considering, unless you are saying we can only do that to a private member's bill. But this would, I believe, be the opportunity to look at the legislation that the committee is considering, and as legislators consider the legislation that we are considering as well, together with the proposed amendments by the executive.
Okay, honorable member Mkulu, honorable member Killian, it's interesting to hear what this is Killian there to say. Okay. Oh, okay, all right, that's fine. Honorable member Mkulu.
I think, Chair, from the beginning there was a figure that was also about admission.
I don't know that, because it is the first time for all of us to do this. There was a prayer that was open for submission. Then it means that we have to maybe get an advice, not to say to be still open for you. Because if it, for me, I think we should have influence or make submission. If you have, we have submitted something.
If you want to speak, raise your hand and I'll recognize you and wait for me to recognize you and then speak. I think that will help us to have an orderly meeting. Agreed?
Yes.
On this one there must be consensus. Agreed? And then I'm talking about the procedure, yes. Yeah.
This will be very helpful. Members can make the order when they are visiting about other members. Okay? Then we don't have to jump in.
Okay, I'll put on this note.
Okay.
I'm saying for all of us, this is a new process. For me, I would advise that because we have also scheduled time next week for the same thing, we can then get an advice come back to you, know what to do. That is the correct thing.
All right, Ms. Chien, and then I will then... I recognize her first. Remember?
No, after
her. Oh, after her, yes, okay.
Okay. Chairperson, I got this just as I walked in. And that is essentially that if the committee feels that they want to also amend other sections of the law, they have the right to do so. Now, can I just remind members that the rules demand that you should have the permission of the House. If you want to expand amendments to the mother bill, what do you call it, the original bill, the Principal Act, that's the word I'm looking for. If you want to extend beyond the parameters of the bill and the clauses that the bill is addressing, you have to first obtain permission from the National Assembly as a committee to expand and to also amend other sections. So I just want to say it's a very nice idea, my Honourable Catherine, but I would suggest that they just read the rules and understand that it's not possible when this happens. But nothing stops him or the Honourable Mazzoli to introduce a private member's bill if they wish to amend other sections of the bill. So that is the position as far as the rules are concerned.
So if they wish to amend...
Can I
I'm trying to repeat what you said. If they wish to amend, they must apply for...
Commission.
If committee has to obtain that it wants to extend deliberation on other sections of the principal act, then the committee can apply to the National Assembly for that commission to extend the deliberation. But failing to have such a position taken by the entire committee, the only option for another member who feels very strongly about this is to take the route of applying.
Okay. If I understand the, I want to summarize this. If we, you want to introduce, it does sound like you have to be a committee, we have to have a consensus. And then once there's consensus, the committee will then apply through the CMMI for the private committee board. For the committee, okay. It then becomes a committee, but they first get permission from the House that they may extend the operation.
Okay. I'm sorry, I just don't have my position. Chair, maybe I need some clarity because I don't know if it is extending the scope because that there are clauses that are already considered. Okay? For example, the clauses that deal with administration and independent assistance and so forth. So what I've asked at the beginning of the process was that if we would like to amend that clause in a different manner, so for example, in that clause, you want to add a sentence. Okay, that's substantial, that is substance to it. But you want to add a sentence. So you're not dealing directly with what is the amendment to that clause there, but you're dealing with that clause. You want to amend a part of that clause. Is that actually singular? I mean, we can get advice from that, because that's what I asked, and then I was told at the end of the process you will have an opportunity to do that. Not in the close clause, don't do that.
If they want to bring, at the end of the process, if they want to bring additional amendments, those amendments are proposed, and then the committee deliberates and decides whether they accept or decline to approve such additional amendments.
Okay.
Well,
even on this one, it must be
okay.
This is how the procedure will follow or will unfold. You will then submit to the secretary, yeah? And then the secretary will circulate to members. And then in the next meeting we will then discuss it by the month consensus. No, this time, no, not for the
people.
What I'm saying is that as you come, we must all agree with it. If you don't agree with it, it's all wrong.
I think you've mistaken what Honorable Kilian was speaking about in terms of if there's a new thing. That's what you've made mistaken here. It does not require consensus, true consensus, everyone to agree with it, for it to be considered, deliberated on, and resolved. In fact, it doesn't require sufficient consensus to be considered and deliberated on. It only needs a majority of the committee in order to be resolved and then obviously proposed to the House in our final session. And then I'm sure there are many members that will be supporting me.
Well, that's positioning on the
going to Charles Barra and get advice what the indications are, because I'm seeing it on that happening, I wish it to cut across all other conditions in Parliament. And we'll have to get the necessary advice. So it must first go to our study parties to meet the first before you can go. And therefore, we can't agree on it now.
Honourable Professor Bozoli and Honourable Member Asunu. Chair, all this proposal is doing is strengthening the oversight capacity of Parliament over institutions that are in a serious crisis. That is our job. If you remember, the Constitutional Court rules that Parliament must start taking its oversight role more seriously. This is exactly what this is. It is taking more seriously our oversight role. The moment a university is put under administration, we've now contemplated a clause where even the council is put under the minister's watch for a period of up to 5 years after the administration has gone, and we as Parliament know nothing about it. We have no evidence on it, we have no report on it, nothing comes to us. It all happens in the murky areas of the minister's office. And we believe that this should be a parliamentary issue. It is a parliamentary concern. That institution is in such a bad way that this has to be done first, and we believe we should have oversight over it. If Mr. Kakana would like to reserve his rights, which is what we've done on several clauses, that's fine. But I think he has no right to tell us whether or not the committee can stop.
Okay,
we thank you.
No, sir, I mean, nobody has a right to impose, including Professor Bozoli has no right to impose her right on my right. Obviously, what I'm proposing ultimately will have to be agreed upon by the community. But I mean, you know, what I find kind of tiring at times is that if Nkunu says to Kasim, you're a president of so and so, then it is awful. I mean, Professor Bozoli has a title, Professor, which she did when she was head of the Sovereignty Exchange. But here she's a member of a committee. But when we say Professor, she's not saying, no, I'm not a professor, I'm a member of a committee. So, I mean, we kind of chasing things that I think.
This meeting has been extra long because for the third time today, you really are breaking the rules. Just think, not being surprised. And we engage in a dialogue. When are you sitting here? Because you're asking for questions, speaking to me. And this two of you talking to each other, I think we must try and find a way. Talk to me. Chair. Tell me what you want to tell me. Chair, listen. Don't say, Professor Pobos, Pozolio, you know, I don't want you to talk to, I'm not talking to, Professor Pobos also spoke to him, directly, addressing him. Now the rules are, you're going to talk through me in the meeting. Come again?
We'll try.
Yeah,
let's improve. Let's improve. No. Today we're not because we're tired, but please, let's try and control it a bit. Okay? That's fine. You know you've been this good comedy, and I still believe in you. Strongly believe in you. Just do the right thing. Right? Your head was up.
I will really do my best to behave.
Address me.
And address you. just from the comments on what Honourable Kabana has said, I think we should in fact accept, yes, we are individual members, but if political organisations want to submit a full position paper with proposed amendments, they're free to do so through the public process. Whether it's DASU or the Democratic Alliance of South Africa or whatever, so clearly that then becomes the official position of that organization, and then the members represented in the committee will work from that document. And to a certain extent, that would have made our work actually a little easier. So I think
it's not the either or. I think it's to do both. I think it's a question of, yes, Honorable Kasim is not, well, he says he's not a member of Jassi. Okay, but the point is, I
you committed the same mistake again.
You see, what I'm just saying is, it's been a practice for 18 years that political parties submit a position on a document, on a bill. Mm-hmm. And then the members will elaborate further on that, etc. Yeah, but ultimately the members decide. But the point is, there was an opportunity for that. And some parties and some youth institutions took the opportunity to do just that, to be part of the public hearings, etc. So that could have happened. But for now, all I'm suggesting is, it is, hear what the Honourable Hassan's proposal is, and we will probably consider it next week. Is that correct, Chairperson?
Yes. We just go and reflect, and then come and discuss and resolve on the end of us. Yes. Then we get a proposal.
Yes, sir. I want to agree with Honorable Chairman that, you know, we've said what Honorable Captain has said. I want to believe that we take process, the process of, but unfortunately, this is why the chair was proposing that maybe something was done with this. Because here we speak of clauses and sections. If we, you know, for us to be able to see that this is where this thing is located, it's better that if you really don't get a fight on this, you can just send something, we'll speak about it next week. And again, I'm sure members that as parliamentarians, with the right to summon anyone to parliament, if we see that there is something which is not happening, okay, corruption than this, we have the right to summon those people here in parliament. In order to get more information, that's why I'm not going to have to, you know, to add your voice here.
But also, in some instances, we have asked for that report from the department. Just to strengthen our oversight. We have said, can we have this report? Because obviously, they will be accounted to the department. And then as we do oversight over the department, we say, well, this other hotspot, we would like you to submit the report regarding this. I'm trying to say, this one is, okay, fine. It does allow us access to that report. We can always ask for that report outside the law, not just making the law. Honorable Professor?
Chair, I like to think that we've actually not put this proposal forward as based on political rules. This is a proposal put forward by genuine members of the council who actually care about oversight to try and improve and strengthen our oversight capacity. But basically cast as some sort of DA strategy, it's got nothing to do, it has never even been to a corporate meeting. It's simply our idea as members of the committee who want to be a hardworking good committee. As far as this thing of calling universities to account or requesting documents from the government, I have several times asked for some sort of calling of universities in or visiting of universities that are in financial difficulty over the past year. It has never happened. When we went to the oversight list of the universities in the Western Cape, it didn't in the case. Didn't have Eastern Cape. I believe our oversight over universities in trouble is very, very weak. We do not know what their financial situation is. We put parliamentary questions to the department and they don't answer them properly. We ask for them to come here and there's never any time because the program is always full. I don't think they're performing our oversight at all. We hear suddenly from a rumor that University of Fort Hare is going bankrupt. What do we do about it? Nothing. Actually, this committee's oversight is very weak in not looking at universities that are in serious trouble at all. And we've already been here for 2 years. We haven't had a serious look at a university in financial difficulty or a university that's just come out of administration. I don't think we're doing our oversight properly. So from the point of view of oversight, I think we should consider this seriously. It's not a game. It's actually a serious proposal. And as I said, in accordance with what the Constitutional Court has pushed us to do, is to take our oversight more seriously. I really would be disappointed if the rest of the committee treated this as some sort of DA joke issue that they can just laugh about and dismiss it. In fact, we asked about this right at the beginning. We seriously asked, can we put forward our own amendments? And we are told to bring it up at the end. We now bring it up at the end, and everyone says, well, we can't do it. Well, what sort of approach is that? No, I find that really unacceptable. I'm sorry.
Initially, I said, make the submission, and then you want the person writing to the meeting together, so we consider the next meeting. But then you insisted on sharing it with us. So as you are sharing, members are also expressing on how they feel about it. I mean, what you're doing. So then we are simply like continuing the next meeting. You want to say, look at it, consider it, and then resolve. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Professor Bozoli, for helping us to identify an area of improvement. And I think I like the spirit, so we will then, when we develop our program of action, we must remember our program of action, is brought to the city for the community to adopt. So once we've adopted a program of action, we also align the budget. So if other things come flying, and the fly arrangement sometimes gets difficult, but it's fine. Now you know. As we adopt our program of action, let's look at all this, make input then, because then we will then be guided by that program of action. So, honorable members, we obviously have to improve on our oversight function over the university, which is the area that has been identified as a university there. And there's nothing wrong in us making a
I'm fine with the committee's decision to say they want to deliberate on this in the future. That's fine. That seems the way that they want to take it back to the study groups and consider it seriously. And I do hope that it will be considered with the spirit. As I've intended, as Professor Bozoli has articulated, this is not a gay position, by the way. It's not anything like that. It's from our experience in the committee, and it's something that we'd like to say, not just for this committee, but for future committees. We may not be here anymore. I won't be here next week, Chairperson, unfortunately. But I want to say in closing, Chairperson, that you're quite correct. We can summon anything as a committee. We have that right to do so. But we also need to make sure, Chairperson, that as a committee, we are also compelled to do the work that we do. And I know, I can speak myself and I can speak for members on this committee. We are not aware of the real situation, what is going on at these universities that are falling under administration. We have not done our due diligence. And if we compel the tabling of independent assessors' reports and administrative reports, that's the only thing that is really being proposed here. Just for it to be tabled, it's not an onerous task. It's not something that has been redeveloped or anything like that. It's not going to stop the department from doing its work, whatever the case may be. But if that is done, you know as well as I do, Chairperson, we as a committee will be better empowered. And we know those are the problem areas that keep being a problem. Those universities will be a problem in this committee, and God forbid in the next committee as well. So we don't want that to happen. We want to have a solid grasp in our oversight over exactly what did the independent assessor find over here. What did the administrator do to fix the situation? Can we give some advice or recommendations in that regard in those crisis areas that affect the sector? That's just what I was just saying. So I hope it will be seriously considered by the committee next week. Unfortunately, I won't be able to.
Thank you very much. I think we are done with the close consideration of the bill. So what will happen is that the department will go back, consolidate all our inputs in one document. They will then bring that document back here. So we will have a second or just a second batch. Just to do the checks and balances on all those issues that we have made input on. It's just a pity that you will not be here, because we don't know the situation where later you also come later. You see, after, it's a pity, and I understand that sometimes if you want to be here, there are certain circumstances that, put pressure on you not to be here. So we accept your approach, but you have to submit it in writing. So I think next week is very, very, very important. This next week is a very
important one, because we're having a lesson size. And then here the doctor is discussing considerations. We adopt next week or we will adopt on another time. Okay. So we will not adopt next week. There might be changes next week, so we adopt. Okay, maybe you will learn the present of it. But what we will do to show fairness, we will circulate the document from the department so that you can also look at it. And then we adopt. And if, I don't know what happens then if they want to put input on the day of adoption. It can't happen. So we have next week for better input. Then the other week we adopt, because we can't send a document that has got things that still have got to be corrected. We've got to adopt things that we see with our eyes and we express our satisfaction and then adopt. So at least we've got another week. But next week we will be looking at all the consolidated inputs, and then that will be our, in other words, it will be our, this is a first draft, right? Second draft.
Honourable Chair, there is what is adopted by the committee, then is what they call the ABLE, will be published, which will then inform the BBLE with incorporations of the changes. And then that one will then be presented to the House, and then it will go to the NCLP where they can consider it and deal with it accordingly.
Okay. No, thanks then. I think we've made good progress. So taking us long, but in the process we've also learned. So the next day, I think we should have given it because we're moving from an important so thank you so much. In terms of the agenda, I'm going to I'm sure Honorable Kasim heard this. And also, he has no control over his situation. Yeah. Alright, thank you so much to the department, and we appreciate all your input. So, shall we change? Do you need 5 minutes, right? But don't go away, just have tea here and then come back and then we do the meeting quickly. Okay, no, I can see you just fresh from lunch. If you feel like a cup of tea, please fill up and grab a cup of tea and then.
Thank you.